This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. I know you believe it. Give God a shout of victory for the greater. Amen. Open your Bible, if you would. The guys aren't going to put it up yet, but I want you to go there. Psalm 31. Psalm 31. And I want to talk to you about greater. I want to talk to you about how that God is a great God, and he's greatly to be praised. I want to talk about this great plan that God has for your life. I want to talk about how God has greater for you in the future, in eternity, but he also has greater for you now in this life. I want to challenge you. I want to inspire you. I want to encourage you. I want to equip you. That you might be watching today and you might be in a spiritually dry season of your life. Well, it's about to end. You might be in a spiritual pit. You're about to get out of it. You might be going through a time of depression, discouragement. We all have those seasons, but there's about to come joy in the morning for you. That no, wherever you're at, whoever you are, God is for you. And I want to give you three things right off the bat. You must remember when you're in a tough situation. Number one, God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. Number two, God will never fail you. God has not forgotten you. Number two, God will never fail you. Number three, God will never forbid you to be blessed. Those are good things to remember when you're going through a tough time. Yeah? Those of you who are partners with our TV ministry, for $17 a week, I'm a partner. I encourage you to become a partner because you're changing lives. And I have a letter. I'm not going to give you her real name. I'm going to call her Sherry. She's from another state. She might be watching today. This came in through our television ministry. And Sherry's letter, I got it last night when I came to church for last night's service. It was on my desk. And I read it. And I was touched. I was moved. And I began to thank God. I prayed for her. And I began to thank God for all of our TV partners that make good things happen to people in bad situations. And Sherry, that's not her real name, but we'll call her Sherry. I'm not going to read her whole letter, but I'm going to read bits and pieces because she talks about being in a spiritual pit in a dry season of her life. She talks about the heartache and she talks about the turmoil going on in her life. And she says, in fact, let me just read a few of it here too, a few parts of it. I'm in a spiritual pit. I cannot see my way out. Well, Sherry, if you're watching today, with the Lord's help, I'm going to help you see your way out. Because, folks, you've got to see it to be it. You've got to see it for it to happen. You've got to realize that, you know, we're talking about greater, right? Everybody say greater. What does the scripture say? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And God is a way maker. The Bible says when there seems like there is no way, when you seem like you're at the end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. Because with God, there is a way. He's a way maker. So Sherry says, I'm in a spiritual pit. I cannot see my way out. I'm tormented constantly by the echoes of my past, where I was called, and I'm not going to list all of it, but she writes, where I was called fat, a pig, dumb, stupid, ugly. I was hurt. I was rejected. I was betrayed. She goes on, I'm struggling with not only that, but obesity. I'm struggling with nerve pains. I'm struggling with abandonment, betrayal, a broken heart, disappointment, discouragement, financial famine, guilt, and shame. But she says, my faith is at an all-time low. But she goes on, Pastor, I get courage from this verse. Now, you're going to find this, God knows where we're at, doesn't he? Because, you know, we've been gone for 1 week. We took a part of the staff, 10 of our staff, to a conference so we all could be better to come back to serve you better. And then we took a week's vacation. I've been working on this series for 2 months, a series called Greater. And I come back and nobody knows anything about my scriptures or whatever. I always send the scriptures to the guys right before the service so they have them up ready for us like they do an awesome job. But she has in here the scriptures that I'm about to give you. And then she ends her letter to me by our major text. It's amazing, isn't it? And she's talking about how she feels like giving up. She feels like her life is over and she feels hopeless. And this whole series is about having hope, about believing that God has things in store for you that are worth getting up in the morning for, that greater days are ahead. You see, if you believe that next week is going to be greater than this week, you've got hope. If you believe that next month is going to be greater than this month, then you have hope. If you believe that the last of this year is going to be the best of your year, then you have hope that God is about to do the greater in our life. I look up the word greater in Webster's Dictionary, 1828 edition, and one of the definitions of greater is large. I like that. That tells me that God wants you to live a large life. God wants us to have a greater relationship with Him. God wants us to have greater intimacy with Him. God wants you and I to have a greater voice in our community. God wants you and I to have greater influence and a greater impact and a greater legacy. God wants you and I to leave a mark, not a scar, on this generation. God wants you and I to rise up and live a large life. I believe that with all of my heart. She goes on and she says, Pastor, I find courage from this scripture, Psalm 27, verse 13. I would have fainted unless I had believed. I would have given up. I would have fainted. She writes it in red letters right here. I would have fainted unless I believed to see the greatness, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Pastor, I have more questions than I do answers. Sherry, if you're watching today, I'm going to give you some answers to your questions. Because see, she knows God has something greater, but she's not experiencing it today. She knows these promises, but she's not processing them. They're not manifesting in her life. And she's wondering why. Well, God's a good God, and God's going to give you those answers today, Sherry. She says, I have more questions than I do answers with this adventure called life. I'm filled with darkness as I find myself in the wilderness, void of all that once that held was true for me seems to be gone. I'm going to skip the rest of it, but at the very end she signs it, but I'm in the potter's hand. And you know, that's my major text for the whole month. It's Jeremiah 18, 1 through 4. He's the potter, we're the clay, stay on the wheel. Yeah? So isn't that amazing? So thank you, TV partners, because today we're going to share good news with Sherry. We're going to let her know that life's not over for her. We're going to let her know that God has the greater in front of her. That God wants to, desires to, and will, if we'll cooperate, bring us to a greater place in Him than we've ever been before. A greater vision, greater confidence, greater love has no man that laid his life down for us. God is a good God. God is great and greatly to be praised. So can we start our study together? Look here with me in Psalm 31, verse 19. I love this, and I get excited every time I read it. This is the third time this weekend. I love it. It's good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, how what? Great. There's our word. There's our title for this month's series. Great. Greater. Oh, how great, God, is your goodness, which you have in layaway. You have laid up. You have put it on reserve. It's ready and waiting for us. Oh, how great. God doesn't want us to live a meager life, a beggarly life, a life that's insignificant. You and I, we want meaning to our life. We want to make a difference, don't we, church? We want to have influence. We want to have a voice. We want to make an impact. We want to grow in our influence in our community. We love our city. We love our community. We want to be salt. We want to be light. We want to be a city that's on top of a hill that's not hid. Just like this last week where Steve and Tim and the team and 100 of you volunteered with our annual parade in the community. By the way, we got first place. Yeah, in the community. But thank you very much, because what is that? That's impact. That's influence. That's a voice. Now, our next project, we start for the next 3 months. What is that? Back to school backpacks for international school. International school. People of all colors, all backgrounds in the city of St. Louis. We get 500 backpacks because of your generosity every year, and we pray over them. And those kids take them home to their families that have come from every nation, all over the nation, to this nation. And what is that? Influence, impact, legacy, make a difference, have a life that's significant. That's what we're talking about. Everybody say greater. How great is God's goodness? Why don't we get our eyes off of what we don't have? Why don't we get our eyes off of where we're not, what we don't have, what we can't do? And why don't we change our focus and get our eyes on how great is our God? And how great is the good things that He has waiting in our future for every single one of us? Oh, how great is your goodness, which you've laid up. It's on layaway. It's in reserve. It's ready and waiting for those who do three things. Note this if you're a note taker. It's for those who fear God, revere God, and worship God. You see, we have to get positioned for the greater. The clay on the wheel limits what the potter can do. The clay on the wheel determines what the potter can do. You see, if you read that story, we're going to do it next week, but if you read that story, remember that he was working, he was molding, he was shaping the potter with the clay on the potter's wheel. And what happened? There was a scar, there was a mar, there was a blemish, there was a crack. And so he threw it down. But what did he do? He picked up the clay, another piece of clay again, and began to reshape, remake, rejuvenate, regenerate, restore, didn't he? Now, why did the piece of clay, did he have to throw it to the side and remake it? Because it had a crack in it. For clay to get a crack in it, clay has to become hard. God can't work with a hard-hearted Christian. So you and I can't stay hurt. We can't stay hard. We can't stay offended in a world that's broken, in a world that's unfair, in a world that's unkind, bigotry, racism. But you and I, negativity, you and I are not going to be a part of that. You and I are a part of another family, another kingdom. Can I have a yes in the house today? We're not going to hang out. We're going to love negative people. We're going to pray for negative people, critical people, racist people, bigotry. We're going to pray for them. We're going to love them from afar, but we're not going to be like them. Because if we run with them, we'll be negative like them. And if we get negative, and if we get cynical, and if we get hurt, then we as clay vessels get hard, and then the potter can't work in us greater. You see, he wants to first work the greater in us. Greater relationship, greater anointing, greater intimacy, greater confidence, greater boldness, greater discernment, all the above. He wants to work the greater in us, church, and then he works the greater good works through us to impact in a greater way our family, our friends, community, our nation, and the nations. And then he wants to do greater for you. All these good things he has laid up in layaway, in reserve, not for everybody, but for people like you. On the first day of the week, what are you doing right now? You're fearing the Lord. That's not negative. That's in awe. Every day of our life, we should live in awe of our God. He's an awesome God. He's a great God. He wants to produce an awe moment in our life, every day of our life. Amen. So you know, what does he want to do in our life today? He has all these great things planned for us that are good, that are greater. He wants to do greater in our life, in us, with us, through us, for us, than we've ever experienced before. But it's going to take you and me, us, getting positioned. How do we get positioned? We have to learn how to fear, revere, and worship the Lord in a deeper way. How does fearing the Lord or reverencing the Lord, how does it come? I'll tell you how it comes. Respect, respect, respect. Re is go back. Spect means remember. So when you learn to respect someone, you respect them by remembering all that they've done for you. Our respect, our reverence, our fear of the Lord, which, by the way, is the beginning of revelation knowledge. Our fear of the Lord comes by not forgetting what God has done for us. The times he protected us and we didn't even know it. The times that he provided, the times that he saw us through, he made a way, he was faithful, he was loving, kind, and merciful. And by reflecting and remembering, I'm going deeper in my reverence, my fear, my respect of the Lord. And what am I doing? I'm positioning myself for the greater that God wants to do in my life. So if you're a note taker, we could say it this way then. I position myself for greater good, greater blessing, greater anointing, greater sensitivity, greater leadership, greater confidence, a greater voice in our city through gratefulness. Gratefulness positions us for the greater. Wow. So I got it. Lord, help me with my grumbling. Now you don't, but Kim will tell you I have those moments. She'll tell you I have those hours probably of a grumbling. Because you know, we all tend, don't we? We're human, we're flesh. It's easier to grumble than it is to be grateful, isn't it? But through grumbling and griping and complaining and being negative like everyone else, I'm just going to be like them if I run around with them. And what they get is what I'm going to get, and their future is my future, and God has something greater in store, in plan, in reserve, on layaway for you and for me. How do we position ourselves? With a grateful heart. A grateful heart keeps the clay soft, so the potter can make something unusual, uncommon, significant, amazing, impressive with the clay. The clay determines and limits what the potter can do with it. So he says, how great is your goodness which you've laid up for those who fear, revere, worship you. Your goodness which you have wrought for those who what? The goodness that he has prepared for those who, here's number two, trust him. So you know what? I got to believe that I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in my lifetime. I got to believe that I'm going to see my household salvation. I'm going to see the breakthrough. Now, breakthroughs never come through shortcuts. I went over not too good on this side. I got a couple of hallelujahs over here. But breakthroughs never come through shortcuts. Breakthroughs come through process. Why is it taking so long, Pastor? Why isn't it happening? Well, I need to evaluate. I need to examine. Am I grateful? Do I fear the Lord, revere the Lord? Am I worshiping the Lord? Am I reflecting, remembering how good God has been in the past? If so, now I'm positioning myself. I'm cooperating with the process. Pastor, why does it take so long? Because God's working on your character and my character, because it's our character that carries the blessing. Did y'all hear that? It's our character that carries the blessing. The bigger the blessing, the stronger, the deeper the character must be. That's why, you know, people that have won the lotto, they lose it all within a matter of just months, right? Because they got this huge blessing, and some of them, not all of them, but they don't have the character to carry the blessing. And so you be of good cheer today, because God's got something greater in store for you. What's he doing? He's working on our character. Let's work with him in the process. Let's stay on the wheel. And let's keep our life in the potter's hand. Come on, give the Lord a good praise. Thank you, Lord. So he goes on to say, it's also for those who trust him. Now, trusting is another word for believing. Wow. So, you know, if I'm believing, I'm expecting. So I got to be in a state of gratefulness, and I've got to be in a state of expectation. That we're expecting next week to be greater than this week. Yeah, but Pastor, I expected this week to be greater than last week, and my circumstances, they went south. Well, your circumstances don't determine your future. And don't be passive to your circumstances. Don't just sit there. Rise up. Take your authority. Get a hold of your faith. Bring back your confession. Get strong. Get back on course. Decree and declare what God has in store for you. Well, I'm getting excited, y'all. Hallelujah. So it's gratefulness and it's expectation. It's gratefulness and it's expectation. That's how we tap into the greater. God, I'm grateful for what you've done. God, I thank you. You watched over me. How many times have God protected us, provided for us, made a way for us, intervened for us? And you know, when you do that, you're positioning yourself for the greater things God wants to do in your life you've never experienced before. Secondly, expectation. Folks, get you know, pray for them, love them, but get away from people who are cynical, racist, bigots. You know, they're negative, they're critical, because if we hang with them, we'll get negative too. And we'll miss out on the greater. Psalm 27, verse 13, goes right along with this, and that's what Sherry had in her letter to us. Look what it says. What would have happened to me? Oh my goodness, what would have happened? What would have become of us? What would have happened? What would I have become if I had not believed? Get your faith back. Don't stop believing. Don't stop trusting. Don't stop expecting. Pastor, why isn't it happening? Because you'll never get a breakthrough through a shortcut. You need a breakthrough. It's going to take process, because God has some huge things in store for you on layaway. So just stay on the wheel. Just stay in the process. Just let God keep working on you. Keep trusting. Keep expecting. Take your faith back. Keep confessing. Be confident. Be bold. Be assured. He'll never fail you. He hasn't forgotten you, nor has he forbidden you to be blessed. So he says, what would have become of me if I had not believed that I would what? See. That I would see what? The Lord's goodness in the land of the living. God's got the greater good waiting for you today. Pastor, how do you get a great life? Well, can I answer that question? Pastor, you know, I believe God wants us to have an abundant life, a blessed life, an empowered life, a powerful, significant life. How do I build a great life? I'm glad y'all asked that question, because four ways. Number one, a great life comes through a great purpose. A great life comes through a great purpose. I need a purpose to live for. We need a purpose to get up in the morning. We need something that we're attached to that will outlast us. We need something that we're a part of that will live longer than we live. It's called legacy. We need something that we are a part of that's bigger than us, so that we can live a large life. So to build a great life, number one, you have to have a great purpose. Number two, you ready? You have to have great principles to build your life on. Not your circumstances, not off the crowd, not from our culture, not from peer pressure, but we want to build our life. If it's going to be great, it's got to be built on principles for life. It's got to be built on the rock. 7,000 promises in the Bible. The greatest book that's ever been written, sold more copies than any other book. The greatest story that's ever been told. I can't claim what I don't know. So how do you build a great life? Here's how you do it. It's not what other people are saying about you, about me. It's not what even our parents or our peers are saying about us or the crowd or the culture. It's when you're making choices and you're making decisions and you want to know which way to go and what to do, ask yourself, what does the Word say? And then you act on that and you're building a great life. Oh, it takes longer, but it's more significant. It takes longer, but greater is the breakthrough. It takes longer, but bigger is the blessing, because a larger character can carry a larger blessing. So how do you build a great life? Number one, with a great purpose. Number two, through great principles to live by. Number three, it's going to take great power, not by might or by my spirit or by my power, but by His Spirit. Zechariah 4:6 says, I need God's power, don't you? I need God's power every day to live the life God has planned for us to live. I need the Holy Spirit. I need a greater fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I need a greater, how about you, relationship, greater with the Holy Spirit. I want a greater anointing on my life. How about you? I want a greater presence. So like they used to say of Charles Finney, that great evangelist, he was a lawyer turned evangelist. And in New York City, back in the 1800s, they said he would walk into a factory and not say a word. And all the factory workers in New York City would fall to the floor and repent and cry out to be born again without one word from Charles Finney. I want a presence like that, don't you? I want a greater presence. I want a greater anointing with the Holy Spirit. I want a greater fellowship, a greater awareness of who He is and what He wants to do in our life. Everyone say greater. To have a great life, I forgot. I got to have, number one, a great purpose. Great purpose. Number two, I have to have great principles to build my life upon. Number three, I have to have great power. I need a greater power to live my life by. And number four, as the team comes, I need great people in our life to have a great life. We need a great purpose. We need great principles. We need great power. But we need great people in our life. Folks, the voices you and I are listening to today are determining our future. The voices that we hang on to, the voices, you know, Sherry, that wasn't her name, but Sherry, if you remember in her letter, she said that what was said over her, that she was fat, a pig, ugly, disgusting, stupid, and dumb, she said it echoes in her brain. Sherry, you're listening to the wrong voices. There's a greater voice. Greater is He that is in you than those voices that are in the world, in your past, in your present, surrounding you today. The voices that we listen to, the voices that we hearken to, the voices that we put weight to, the voices that we allow in our life determine our future. I say it's time to be selective on who we're listening to live a great life.